More than anything, this afternoon, I would really desire that our hearts be meditative on what he was singing and what we're going to be looking at in the next 45 minutes or so. But it's essential that we understand what was taking place. 1,959 years ago, Jesus Christ was led out of Jerusalem there to make the final and once and for all atonement for the sins or sin of mankind. And so I would like to read to you out of Luke's gospel, starting at about verse 26. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold of a certain man, Simon, a Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross, that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, wombs that have never bore, and the breasts that have never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in a green wood, what will they do in the dry?" There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots. And the people stood looking on. Even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ, the chosen one of God." And the soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." And the inscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, "This is the King of the Jews." And then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." And it was about noon, and there was darkness over the earth until 3 o'clock. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now, when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly this was a righteous man." And the crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. People, for those of us, I think it's safe to say in this room, we are Christians this afternoon. And everything that we believe in, everything that we hold to, is resting, absolutely sitting upon the events of this day, some 1,959 years ago. Today's the day. Today was the great atonement for our sin. Without the death of the righteous Lamb of God, we would be lost in our sin, forbidden from the presence of God, doomed forevermore in our sinless state. The death of Christ on this day, this hour, nearly 2,000 years ago, the sky became dark. It's 25 after noon now. At 25 after noon then, God turns his back on his Son in breaking eternal forever separation of fellowship. God the Father sees the sin of mankind heaped upon Jesus. And in that hour of 3 hours there, Jesus goes through the darkest, most gruesome, most brutal of hells ever to be experienced on that cross, suspended between heaven and the earth, paying the price for us. And the fact of the matter is that as Jesus did that, 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us that he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Christian, there are things in our lives, me included, absolutely, who today must stop and meditate on the crucifixion, because it is our hearts also that hold within it still secret passions and secret concerns and secret loves that resist the will of God in our lives. The people of the nation, the soldiers, the Jews resisted the will of God that day, yet it was God crucifying his Son for the sins of the world. This afternoon, we must recognize that even though we are Christians and that we are saved by the blood of the Lamb, we this day can make a commitment to Christ in a new way, that we this day be crucified. The Bible tells us, Romans chapter 6 tells us, that we are crucified with Christ. And God speaks to my heart and says, are you? Am I crucified with Christ? Listen, there's no resurrection coming Sunday without a crucifixion. There's no resurrection come Sunday without a death. There's no glory. There's no glorified body. There's no Jesus walking through the walls and appearing before the disciples without a death. The Bible tells us that unless a little grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it lives all by itself. But if it dies, it brings forth much fruit. And so this afternoon, we can so glibly run around and do our day, but the very truth of the matter is, people, if we are going to survive by the grace of God, the time that's remaining, we need to wax strong in the faith. We need to just realize that this day of meditation upon what Jesus has done will be the thing that gets us through. Christ died and saved us from our sins. There were those who stood there, they mocked him, the religious people mocking him, scourging him with their tongues and with their words. And there are people who scourge him today. And this day is a joke. This day is a mockery to so many people. And it is on this day that we hang our hope. But people, if this day would have happened in history only, then we of all people would be most miserable. We would have been with Peter and the others. In fact, come resurrection morning, and we'll get into it on Easter Day, on resurrection day, where's Thomas? He's not even around. He's out trying to pick his spirits up, perhaps. And so, for so many of us, if we live our Christian life in this crucified state with never experiencing a resurrection in our hearts of hope, we will be people who will be nothing more than religious and cold and callous to the things of God, because you see, our Christ still hangs on a cross. And he does not. The Bible tells us concerning this day, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we so maybe often in our homes and sometimes hear sing, lift Jesus higher, higher, all for all the world to see. Hey, you know what? We don't want to sing that song anymore. We want to rip that song out of our hymnal. He's not being lifted higher. That's a song of crucifixion. This is the day that the Lord hath made, happened 1,959 years ago. That day has taken place. Your sins have been paid. We do not any longer lift Jesus higher on the cross. For he is as high can be, sitting next to the Father forever, glorified, our intercessor. And people, it is this day that we as Christians focus on. We lament this day for memory. As often as you do this in remembrance of me, in the communion ceremony, as Christ proclaimed, listen, we stopped this Good Friday. And you know, it wasn't called Good Friday. In a real way, to the eyes of man, there was nothing good about it. It's called God's Friday. But it was changed to Good Friday. Like goodbye. It's God be with ye is the way it used to be. And we've shortened it to goodbye. God be with ye. God's Friday. This is God's Friday, where man was absolutely excluded from the act of redemption on that day. Yes. Men's hands crucified him. Men's hands beat him. All by divine appointment. I want to read to you Psalm 22. And pray that the Lord will just speak to our hearts the reality of this day and all that was transpiring. Because as Jesus hung upon that horrible cross, incredibly splintered and bloodstained from the previous criminals before him, he is there with his back ripped open, even his bones and some vitals being exposed from his back after the whippings, there impaled upon the cross. He says, my God, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani? Why hast thou forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the wounds of my groaning? My God, I cry to you in daytime, but you do not hear. And in the night season, and I am not silent, but you are holy, who inhabit the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried to you and they were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a tolof, a worm, and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people. All those who see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out their lip and they shake their head, saying, he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me to trust when I was on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help me. Many bulls have surrounded me. The strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths as a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all of my bones are out of joint, and my heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue, it cleaves to my jaw. You have brought me into the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. They assembled. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, and from the horns of the wild ox. You have answered me, and I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. So long before King David writes that psalm of prophecy, before crucifixion was ever concocted, they pierced my hands and my feet. Jesus making atonement this hour for us so long ago. Isaiah tells us, who shall believe this report? And to whom shall the arm of the Lord been revealed? He was despised and rejected of men, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And we esteemed him not. God laid on him the chastisement of our peace. And by his stripes we are healed. He was marred more than any other man beyond the description of men. And this afternoon, if we could see him in that state so long ago, we would say with Isaiah, we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He's sickening. He's grotesque. He's horrible. And there is no beauty in him, Isaiah says, that we should even desire him. Why? Because sin is so demanding and so cursed. On God's Friday, we pause and we worship. And we look forward to resurrection morning. Because right now, the place of the cross, there will be a great earthquake. The temple veil will be torn from top to bottom. And the graves will open and many will come out of the grave. The dead will rise and move and go into Jerusalem not many hours from now. And there's a horrible thing because the sun is darkened. The world has become dark as God the Father lays on his Son all of our sin, past, present, and future. And the Father, in holy, pure disgust, says, this is the sin of the world. And in putrefying detest, the Father turns his face from his Son. And even the heavens flee away and do not give their light. And Jesus cries out for you, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So that you and I will never have to cry that out, ever. Ever. We will never say it. It will never come from our lips. Because on him was laid the iniquity of the world. And we rejoice. I want to end with these words, and I share them solely from my heart. My soul is heavy, and it has been heavy. And we pray that this God's Friday would be a time that we all in this church would stop and prioritize our lives again and take stock about what really counts in this world and what are we doing with the time remaining. I encourage you if it's dark still where you're at, if it has been dark, rejoice. The resurrection's coming. The Lord is coming. And in my own personal life, it's been dark. It's been dark for a while. And I seek the Lord and I cry out to him. And he assures me that he's near, but what is taking place, I do not understand. And I'm concerned for this church. And I'm concerned for your family. The days are waxing worse and worse, darker and darker. And Jesus says, right before I come back, the agape of many will wax cold. He will not forsake us. Will we forsake Him? Is our cry. May the Lord bless us. And may God Himself send a revival to all of our hearts of commitment and of sincerity. And may He have the freedom to move in this chapel like He's never had before in any place ever. Because we, I pray, are people who will seek God and experience His deliverance. Let's pray and then we'll have communion. And I know some have to get back to work. But before you do, we'll end soon and have communion. Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask You that You, dear Lord, would move upon our hearts this afternoon. And Lord, that as we partake of the bread and of the cup in faith, recognizing Jesus, Lord, we pray now that we would search our hearts and God, that You'd cleanse us from the prayerlessness and from the adultery and from the carnality and from the lack of love. And Lord, that we would come free. Free because Jesus is now, this hour so long ago, paying the price. And we look back to that day, God's Friday. In Jesus' name we thank You, Father. And we partake now of the table. In Jesus' name, amen. As Chuck plays, and as you come forward, as usual, come on forward. If you have your family here, bring them forward. Pray with them. Give them the cup and the bread, and you can go off to work or have your seat. But as Chuck plays, focus on just really what on earth was happening so long ago. And what on earth will happen so very soon. In Jesus' name.